This morning's gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. It's found on page 1512 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. But before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletin? Lord God, in this dry and dusty place, pour out the power of your Spirit so that your word may blossom in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our way in the wilderness. Amen. Chapter 11, starting in verse 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind shall receive sight, the lame will walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out and see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. Be to God indeed. The word for this third Sunday of Advent is restoration. The total restoration envelops us in this third Sunday of Advent. God hones and heightens each of our senses in order that we may fully perceive the holy and be completely reincorporated into community. Not only individuals, but entire peoples become whole again. Isaiah prophesizes this radical new life. James tells us to patiently wait for the breaking in of the Lord. And Jesus assures John that the wait is over. No one gets forgotten. All will receive compassion and healing. And you hear that? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the poor have good news, lepers are cleansed, the dead, they're raised. All those desert places in the world and in our lives overflow with beauty and blooms and water and life that calls forth more than life. Those images of life-sustaining and life-giving newness, they grab our attention in a world that is flooded. This week's news feed has just been flooded with violence and meanness. When I looked out my window, especially at work, I could see, even in the yard, the trees are barren. They're sparse. The leaves have dropped. They almost look feeble. And abundance is just not evident in this time and in this season, the latter part of this season. I know enough people that are grieving from the death of a loved one or struggling with a debilitating illness to join John in his plea for help from prison. Are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one, Jesus? Or do we have to wait and keep waiting and languish in waiting for another? How long? How long do we have to wait, O Lord? I wonder when the word from Jesus will come. I hope that the word will indeed be grace upon grace for me, for those suffering in body and in mind and in spirit, and for the nations that are at odds with each other, and for the people sleeping on our streets. Sometimes my prayers resemble John's question from his utter helplessness. Are you the one? Really? Are you the one? Or have I been foolish to follow and believe? Sometimes I often, after what seems like a long wait, a messenger returns with Jesus' answer, and those with eyes to see and the ability to walk more closely with Jesus than I in a moment tell me that I have witnessed something awesome. I get a word of good news about being brought from the poor. Christians working against the odds in refugee camps or in prisons and on the border and in a boarding room, to bring equity and ethics and care to the least of these in our midst. I get a word of radical reconciliation between former enemies, relationships that are raised from the dead, and forgiveness asked for and accepted, and the weak supported and despondent encouraged. Desert places bloom unexpectedly, inexplicably. And a way is made where there was formerly, well, no way at all. Waiting for that word, for that witness, requires patience. Well, quite frankly, that I don't always possess. Hence our need for a community of believers to strengthen our hearts until we are utterly assured of Jesus' power and presence. I had been reading some work by B.J. Miller and the Center for Living and Dying. And Miller is a palliative care doctor who came to the work after having nearly died himself in a freak accident when he was 19 years old. And he survived and lost both legs, below the knee, and part of one arm. So I went down the internet rabbit hole, and I listened to an interview with him, and then I was reading about the center in which he started, and finally I listened to a TED Talk that was titled, What Really Matters at the End of Life? And he notes, after my accident, he says, I went back to college. I changed my major to art history. And studying visual art, I figured I'd learn something about how to see. A really potent lesson, he says, for a kid who couldn't change so much of what he was seeing. A perspective, that kind of alchemy we humans get to play with, turning anguish into a flower. He goes on to talk about the crucial importance of our senses for feeling alive, for feeling pleasure and delight. And he says, sensuous aesthetic gratification, where in a moment, in an instant, we are rewarded for just being. So much of it comes down to loving our time by way of the senses, by way of the body. The very thing doing the living and the dying. As long as we have our senses, even just one, it says, we have at least the possibility of accessing what makes us feel human. What makes us feel connected. Feeling human, feeling connected, aesthetic gratification, rewarded for just being. Could not these be what helps us with our Advent waiting? Easing creation's groaning labor pain until we get word that our waiting is over. God's total restoration complete. As we eagerly await the dead being raised and the desert in bloom, could we change our perspective and see the berries still on the end of the leafless branches and the dandelions that are emerging from the cracks in the driveway, and perhaps the cardinals cast in stark relief against the gray sky? Not as a way to ignore the suffering within or around, but as a means to witness the joy of just being. And the wholeness Jesus offers, not in spite of our finitude, our finiteness, but through it. Through it. John the Baptist, praised by Jesus as the greatest born of women, never leaves prison. And we learn in chapter 14 that he has been beheaded by Herod. And presumably, John gets word of all that Jesus is doing, but does not experience such signs himself. And I can't help but wonder if that message was enough to keep John from despair. Was hearing what others witnessed enough to help him keep the faith and trust that his following, his call, his life was not in vain? Of course, we trust that ultimately John did see Jesus face to face. But what about an approximate of this earthly suffering? What keeps us alive? What keeps us feeling human? What keeps us feeling connected? Seeing. Hearing. Touching, smelling, connection. Knowing we are not alone even when languishing in places we may never leave. Hearing the good news of the gospel from those who have experienced its healing power firsthand. Getting messages and visits from people who care about us, who refuse to forget or give up on us, no matter our state. Remembering that even when we are unable to go to those places in need of water, of food, of hope, others are going in our name, are going in Jesus' name. And because we are one body, we are there too. It doesn't get us off the hook. But trusting that no matter how desolate the desert, life exists there. Life will flourish there, even if we don't yet sense its presence. Looking, listening, reaching for, and inhaling in the best we can in any given moment, the wholeness Jesus offers now. Until he comes again. And in all creation will be restored. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And amen.